Hausen from Mars.
Inshallah, Sheikh Mohammed said, I think this lecture is taking place in the University of Texas, level of it. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره نعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها فإن كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار وإنما توعدون لآت وما أنتم بمعجزين فإذ الله سبحانه وتعالى And he's the only one worthy of praise. I seek his help, his guidance, and his forgiveness. I believe in him and I trust him. I seek refuge in Almighty Allah from the evil of our passion. Indeed, whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides him to Islam, no one can mislead him after Allah. And whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts him astray, no one can guide him after Allah. I testify openly that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah Rabbil Alameen. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger and the seed of all the prophets. O Muslims, you must know that the best speech is the speech of Almighty Allah, which is the Quran. The best guidance is the course of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is his sunnah. The worst of all affairs is innovation and addition to the religion of Al-Islam. Indeed, every addition to the religion of Al-Islam will lead to hellfire. I adjure you as well as myself to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the best of your ability. Fear Allah and don't die unless you are Muslim. Inshallah, with this session, which we are supposed to be talking about history of the house of Allah. And when we're talking about the house of Allah, which is the Kaaba, as I stated in the previous lecture, this is the house which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had chosen for himself. All the other houses that we call it Masajid or Buyutillah, we are the one who select its location. But this house been chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is a big difference between the choice of a human being and the choice of Rabbil Alameen. And there is a big difference between the selection of Almighty Allah and the selection of the human being. The selection of the human being, it still has its deficiency. They do according their limitation. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had chosen the Kaaba to be his house and to be the place for the human being to go around it. So the Kaaba is the place which Allah had chosen. The Kaaba, the Bayt al-Haram, and the secret house of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Ibn al-Jawzi, rahmatullahi alayhi, said, the Kaaba, been named as a Kaaba for one of these two reasons. That because هذا المبنى مربع أنها مربعة and this is came from عكرمة and مجاهد that it named كعبة because it had square shape and usually the Arab they call anything that has a square shape كعب or مكعب or the other meaning because its height from the normal surrounding area and we call the side of your feet we call it كعب. Allah has said and wash your feet okay wash your feet in a كعبين this is to the ankle. So anything that is top or higher than the normal, we call it Ka'b. Okay? So this is the linguistic meaning behind the name of Ka'bah. And the house, al-haram, summiya. Haram, forbidden or secret, because the secret of this place concerning certain action not to be done, that mean you could not be hunting in the air of this area, neither in the land of this area, nor a person supposed to cut the trees and the grass that grows there. So it has this kind of secret and respect for whatever goes there. And this what comes from the name Al-Bayt Al-Haram or the name Al-Ka'bah. Also, it's been named with other names. We call Al-Bayt the house or Al-Bayt Al-Atiq, the old house. And they said, call Al-Atiq, which to be free, that because Allah had freed it from the enemies and the transgressors. And also call Atiq, because it's old, as Imam Al-Hasan rahmatullahi alayhi. Or call al-atiq because nobody can possess it. It's only because it belongs to Allah. Nobody else can own it. And this is what Mujahid said. And we call atiq because it's been free from the flood. The flood that happened in the time of Nuh alayhi salam. All the possibilities that can be behind the reason being called Al-Bayt Al-Atiq. It then confirmed through study and investigation that the Kaaba is the middle of the whole earth. From any distance and any area that you try to measure, then the Kaaba will be the center of the earth. The Kaaba has been respected at all times, before Islam and after Al-Islam. As a result of this, that when the people of Quraysh, they tried to rebuild the Kaaba, they did not fill part of it on the original foundation of the Prophet Ibrahim. For a simple reason, they only used lawful money, halal, pure income, for building the Kaaba and the renovation of the Kaaba. So their money was short, the halal money, so when they rebuilt the Kaaba, they did not complete all the walls, and you understand there is something called their Hijr Ismail, because Hijr Ismail part of the Kaaba, but not built all the way up. Inshallah, we show the slideshow after Isha, but if somebody can see this half circle from one side of the Kaaba, the inside of Hijr Ismail is part of the Kaaba. It's not the wall, it's not built all the way up like the rest of the wall. And this shows you how even before Islam, that Quraysh and all these people used to have a great respect for the Kaaba. So, they did not build it from haram money. And it's so strange when we hear something like this, to know that nowadays some Muslims, they're trying to build the Islamic center and masajid with riba and usury money from the bank. The people in the kufr, they did not do so, and nowadays that some Muslims, they get haram money to build a house for Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had spoke about the Kaaba in the Quran, and he named it Al-Bayt, and he said, وَإِذْ جَعَلْنَا الْبَيْتَ مَثَابَةً لِلنَّاسِ وَأَمْنًا. We make it in the center and station and a way that people always return to it, and a place of security and safety, and take from the maqam of Ibrahim a place of prayer. And we give the command to Ibrahim and Ismail that clean and purify my house for those who make a tawaf, and those who attend i'tikaf, and those who bow down and prostrate. Surah Al-Baqarah, number 2, verse 125. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made the Kaaba at all the time to be the center and the refuge place of all people, but for them to come from everywhere for a place which they can have safety and security, and they can have shelter in it. And we had told the people, use this station of Ibrahim, i.e. the stone that Ibrahim alayhi salam had used it while he was building the Kaaba, take from this place a place for prayer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentioned about the Kaaba in the Quran in Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse number 97. جَعَلَ اللَّهُ الْكَعْبَةَ الْبَيْتَ الْحَرَامِ قياما للناس والشهر الحرام والهدي والقلائد. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the Kaaba to be a place for the maintenance of the people, that the people could not be established and could not be exist and could not have a means of stability without the Kaaba being there. The Kaaba has a square shape, almost. It's built from special stone, so solid and with a blue color. The height of the Kaaba is approximately 15 meters. And I don't know if some of you know about meter or no. Meter is approximately about 3 foot and some inches. I think maybe 3 inches. So the height of the Kaaba is 15 meters. And the width of the Kaaba from the side where is the mizab, the drainage for the rain, is 10 meters and 10 centimeters. And the side which is the door of the Kaaba is 12 meters. The door of the Kaaba is away from the ground, approximately 2 meters. And nobody can reach it without scale or steps. The Kaaba has 4 corners, which Al-Rukn Al-Yamani and Rukn Al-Aswad, which has the black stone, and Al-Rukn Al-Shami and Rukn Al-Gharbi. Rukn Al-Yamani, which is between the east and the south. Al-Rukn, the Kaaba has 4 corners, and we call each corner Rukn, which is the 2 walls meet each other. We call this Rukn. So the Kaaba has 4 corners, or the 4 Rukn. The first one, which is start the Hajj from, which has the black stone, and it's facing between the east and the south. And the second one, after the door of the Kaaba, which you call Al-Rukn Al-Shami, which is between the east and the north, and is directed towards Sham or Damascus. And after this, the corner of the west, Al-Gharbi, that between north and east, because it's facing almost toward Morocco, or the countries of Morocco. And it should be named by the Egyptian corner. This is in somebody who say if it be named that Al-Misri will be more cover because it's even towards Egypt. After this it comes Al-Rukn Al-Yamani, which is the corner that before the black stone. And this is even towards the country Yemen. Some about the virtues of the corners of the Kaaba, as came in the collection of Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhi from Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma qal, لم أرى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يمسح من البيت إلا الركنين اليمانيين. I didn't see the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم touching or wiping any part of the Kaaba except the 2 corners, al-Yamani and the one that had the black stone. And we mentioned this in the first lecture today, that people who are not following the Sunnah, they go rubbing themselves against the Kaaba everywhere. This is not something pleasing to Allah, and this not following the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to touch only the Yemeni corner, and he used to touch and kiss the black stone which in the next corner. Also in the collection of Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhi, from Ibn Shihab, he says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't touch any of the corners of Kaaba except the Aswad, the black one, and the one that after it, which is Al-Rukn al-Yamani, and the other one which is the Rukn al-Aswad, which is, has the black stone. The virtue concerning Al-Rukn al-Aswad, which is the one has the black stone, is two. Number one, because it's been built on the foundation of the Prophet Ibrahim. Number two, it carries a black stone. What means the foundation of the Prophet Ibrahim? Where the Prophet Ibrahim had started the Kaaba, this, where he built it, this called the foundation.
No sound, brother.
The wall is built with the hill, with the angle. And the end of this angle, this is the foundation of Ibrahim. So the Kaaba has two rukn, two corners that they still remaining on the foundation of Ibrahim, the original, okay, which Allah showed him to put the Kaaba. And two of the corners of the Kaaba is not on the original foundation which built by Ibrahim. So the corner, which, and corner, the stone, the black stone in it, this is one of the corners of the Kaaba that has the right foundation. And the second version for it, that it carries a black stone in it. The other corner, which before the black stone, called Al-Rukn al-Yamani, the virtues of it, that it has been built on the foundation of the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. In Mecca, and inside the Haram, and with a close destination from the Kaaba, you found Maqam Ibrahim, the station of Ibrahim. And the station of Ibrahim alayhi salam is the stone which the friend of Allah, the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, stood in that stone to build and erect the Kaaba. And for those who go there and they observe and look, you will find the footsteps, the impact or the trace of the foot of the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam has been there until today in the stone. Also, what you observe there in the Haram, Hijr Ismail. And Hijr Ismail is the other side of the Kaaba from Al-Rukn al-Yamani and the black corner, which is a wall about the height of it, about 4 feet, approximately height. The height of it, 4 feet. And is opening from both sides. What's inside this area called Hijr Ismail. Hijr Ismail. And is a half circle. The Hijr Ismail is part of the Kaaba. Is part of the Kaaba. Therefore, if a person tries to make a shortcut, instead go around the Kaaba and go from one side
of Hijr Ismail come from other side, there is no tawaf for him. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now this is the Kaaba like this. Square shape. Alright? Now come Hijr Ismail, like a half circle like this, to the Kaaba from the other side. Okay? And you two have two openings. One you can come from in, and one you can come out. You understand what I'm saying? So when you make tawaf, you have to go around Hijr Ismail from the outside. Okay? You could not come from here and come from here, and you think that you're going around the Kaaba. You have to go around the Hijr Ismail from the outside. So what's inside Hijr Ismail is part of the Kaaba. Alright? Part of the Kaaba. And like I said, it's been built, it's not been completed because with not enough sufficient halal money to build. Right. Now, so somebody who pray inside Hijr Ismail as if they pray inside the Kaaba. Because, you know, it's not easy for everybody to be able to enter the Kaaba. Except if you are a big shot, official person, the ambassador of so and so, and whatever delegation, they may open the Kaaba and let these people in. But there is opportunity for all the Muslims to pray inside the Kaaba by praying in Hijr Ismail. Let's talk a little bit about the history of Al-Hajar Al-Aswad, the black stone. The black stone, we have few hadiths here to narrate about it. One reported by Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu qal, قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نزل الحجر الأسود من الجنة وهو أشد بياضا من اللبن فسودته خطايا بني آدم. رواه أحمد والترمذي وقال هذا حديث حسن صحيح. عند الشيخ الألباني رحمة الله عليه وهو كما قال. From Ibn Abbas's authority, may Allah be pleased him, from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is saying what the meaning is. The black stone came down from Jannah, from Paradise. Why was so white, more than milk? But the sin of son of Adam caused it to turn black. And this hadith is the collection of Imam Ahmad and the Tirmidhi. And the Imam Tirmidhi said, this hadith is Hasan Sahih. And Sheikh Al-Albani, rahmatullahi alayhi, he made the comment about the hadith, say, what Tirmidhi said about the hadith is right. Also, from Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, قال. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم concerning the black stone, والله ليبعثنه الله يوم القيامة له عينان يبصر بهما ولسان ينطق به يشهد على من استلمه بحق. The Prophet of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم is saying, by Allah, he swearing, by Allah, Allah will resurrect it or bring the black stone in the day of judgment with two eyes and a tongue to which he will talk and be witness to every person who touches or kisses with the throat. If somebody go to make Hajj and Umrah and sincere intention and he went and touched the black stone, so the black stone, he will be witness for you in the day of judgment. In another hadith, this hadith fits in the collection of Imam al-Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah wa Darimi. And Shaykh al-Albani rahmatullah alayhi said, إِثْنَادُهُ صَحِيحٌ. وَعَنِ ابْنِ عُمَرٍ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ قَالِ سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إن الركن والمقام ياقوتتان من ياقوت الجنة طمس الله نورهما ولو لم يطمس نورهما لأضاء ما بين المشرق والمغرب رواه الترمذي وغيره من طريق يتقوى الحديث به. Does the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that the black stone and the stone of Ibrahim that he stood on it to build the Kaaba is yaqutatan, ruby, two rubies from the rubies of Jannah. But Allah took away, cover, sheltered the light of it, the shining light of it. And if Allah didn't do this, they will lighten the whole east and west. It's two rubies from the rubies of Jannah. So you can imagine that these two rubies from the Jannah is sufficient to lighten the whole earth. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had took the light or covered the light of these two rubies. So, originally the black stone came from the Jannah. This is one of the miracles and the history that this stone been always there until today, regardless whatever had happened to it. Some of the scholars explain that the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with the human being, because if Allah didn't take away the light of these two rubies, the black stone and the stone of Ibrahim, the people will not even be able to see anything because the shining light of these two rubies. And some they say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want anything of the Jannah to be here in the dunya, the pleasure of Jannah. Okay? So when you go there, you will see the total pleasure of everything. Some of the scholars, they explain why the black stone became dark and black. And as been explained, they made a comment, because the hadith already explained that the sins of human beings caused it to turn from the color of milk. It used to be even whiter more than milk, but the sins of the human being did what? Made the stone turn to black. Some of the scholars they say this to be a lesson for us, how the sins of the human being has impact and effect on the stone. So can you imagine how the sins will affect the heart? If the sins turn the stone to be black, can you imagine when the human being committed sin, how the sin going to cause destruction and darkness in his heart? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protection. We see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has protected the black stone to be lost for all this time, since at least the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, regardless what has been done to it. And through the whole history, many things had happened to the black stone. With the history of the black stone, we know about the incident that happened in the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was 35 years old, and before he became the Prophet of Allah. When Quraysh tried to rebuild the Kaaba, and after they finished building the Kaaba, it came the moment of the replacement of the black stone. And this was almost about to bring about serious war between the tribes, because each tribe wanted to get the honor of the replacement of the black stone back in the Kaaba. Some of the wise men among them had agreed that the first man enter the Kaaba, they will ask him to be the judge between them, and he will make the decision which tribe will have the honor of replacing the black stone in the Kaaba. And here the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the wise man, respected, truthful, known by the people to be the honest and the trustworthy, having to be the first one to enter. They told him about the problems that they are facing. And here the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he took his shirt off, laid down in the ground, and asked and he put the stone in the middle of the shirt or the toe, and ask each tribe to get a chief or representative from them, and each one to carry one side of the shirt of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam until they bring it closer to the Kaaba. And by this decision and this idea of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had closed the door in front of a serious war that was about to take place and cause a serious destruction among the people, because each one of them wanted to get the honor of lifting up the black stone and putting it in the Kaaba. Also from the history that we know that what Allah has told us in Surah Al-Fil, when Abraha came with the elephant, and when those people attempt to destroy the Kaaba, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the people of Quraysh, and the people who there in that time, they have no means to face this army, they came with this elephant, and they came with a great army. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He took any charge to defend and to protect and safeguard His house. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in Quran about this incident, which happened in the year Aam al-Fil, the same year the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was born. And Allah stated in the Quran, أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ أَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ كَيْدَهُمْ فِي تَضْلِيلٍ وَأَرْسَلَ عَلَيْهِمْ طَيْرًا أَبَابِيلَ تَرْمِيهِمْ بِحِجَارَةٍ مِنْ سِجِّيلٍ فَجَعَلَهُمْ كَعَصْفٍ مَأْكُولٍ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made this a lesson for everybody, for all the nations, and for all the people at all the times. Anybody who intend any harm to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those people, they came with elephants, but Allah sent what? Birds. And the birds is not even the size of the nose of the elephant. Not even the size of one finger of the elephant. It's not how big your tank and your army, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent a fire bird. And it came in groups carrying small petals. And when they throw these pebbles, destroy those people who have intended harm to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the Kaaba, there is al-multazam. And I mentioned in the first lecture today about the proper place and the proper act, which a lot of people unaware about the multazam. And they go and they stand under the Kaaba, under the door of the Kaaba. And the proper place, which you call al-multazam, al-multazam like means al-tizam, that means to hug something. Like al-tizam, somebody when you meet your friend and you hug him, this called al-tizam. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to stand in a place called, they call it al-multazam. And he used to put his cheek on the wall of the Kaaba. And put his cheek on that wall of the Kaaba facing toward the east. Alright? And multazam is after the black stone immediately and before the door of the Kaaba. This is called al-multazam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to stand putting his cheek on the wall of the Kaaba and his cheek, and he spread his arm as far as he can, and he stands there and call in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This from Amr ibn Sha'ib an abihi an jaddi qal, ra'aytu Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yawtiku wajhahu wa sadrahu bil multazam. He said, from Amr ibn Sha'ib, from his father, from his grandfather, I saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam standing there, sticking his face and his chest to al-multazam. One of the speciality of the Kaaba that it is the oldest building on the earth. It is the oldest building that exists on the earth. Also, the prayer there is lawful at any time. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith which reported by Jubair ابن مطعم أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال يا بني عبد مناف لا تمنعوا أحدا طاف بهذا البيت وصلى أي ساعة شاء من ليل أو نهار. وقال الحاكم صحيح على شرط الشيخين. That رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said, O people, O tribe of عبد مناف, don't stop anybody, make tawaf round the Kaaba or perform the prayer at any hour, day or night. As we understand, there is a prohibition that you are not supposed to pray when the sun about rise. Neither are you supposed to pray when the sun in the middle of the sky. Neither are you supposed to be praying, okay, nafl prayer before sun about to set. But there, in the Kaaba, you can pray at any time. No exception. Also, we understand about the great reward that for the prayer there, which inshallah we talk about it more in details in the hadith. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu is saying, Salatun fi masjidi khayrun min alf salatin fi ma suwah. من المساجد إلا المسجد الحرام. From Abu Huraira, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, prayer in my mosque, the mosque of the Prophet which is in the Medina, is better than 1,000 prayers in any other mosque except المسجد الحرام. He said in other narration, وَصَلَاطٌ فِي الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ أَفْضَلْ مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ فِي مَسْجِدِي هَذَا دِمَاءَةَ الصَّلَاةِ. That prayer in the Kaaba is better than prayer in the mosque of the Prophet 100 times. That means prayer in the Haram in Mecca is what? 100
thousand times, 100,000 times. This is some of the speciality of this house. Also, one of the speciality of this house that been built by two prophets. Been built by two prophets, or a prophet and his son, which is the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, and assisted by his son Ismail alayhi salam. As for the building and the renovation of the Kaaba, there is a lot of history about it, as it came في كتاب إخبار الكرام. He said, be aware that the number of building or rebuilding the Kaaba or reconstructing the Kaaba, it made differences among the narrators of history. Some they said 10, some they said 11, and different narrations about it. But according how authentic it is, Allah knows best, what they said, as example, first time been built by the angels. After this, been built by the children of Adam. Or secondly, been built by Adam. And after this, been built by the sons of Adam. After this, the fourth time been built by the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. After this, it's been built the fifth time by Al-Amalika, gigantic big people. After this, number six, it's been built by Jurham. And after this, it's been built by Qusay bin Kilab. And after this, the eighth time been built by Quraysh. And the ninth time been built by Abdullah ibn Zubayr. And after this, been built by Al-Hajjaj bin Yusuf al-Thaqafi. And after this, the 11th time has been built by Al-Sultan Murad. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows this. But there is something here that it tells us some of closeness, authentication of this information. As example in Surah Al-Hajj, in another surah, I think that in Surah Al-Baqarah, that indeed the first house that has been built is the one that in Mecca. Okay? So here the verb that been used, the verse is saying, إِنَّ أَوَّلَ بَيْتٍ مُضِعَ لِلنَّاسِ لَلَّذِي بِبَكَّةُ مُبَارَكَةً. Indeed, the first house then built for mankind is the one that in Mecca. Okay, and Allah also called it Mecca, and this is another name for it. Alright? This is Surah Ala Imran. Surah Al-Imran, verse number 96. So Allah said, إِنَّ أَوَّلَ بَيْتٍ وُضِعَ لِلنَّاسِ. So وُضِعَ is what we call it in Arabic, مَبْنِي لِلْمَجْهُولِ. Does anybody know how to translate this to English? مَبْنِي لِلْمَجْهُولِ. Okay, built by unknown. But there is a special grammatical term that he used, مَبْنِ الْمَجْهُولِ. That means when you say, the milk been drunk, okay? So this مَبْنِ الْمَجْهُولِ, that means the subject, the door of the verb is not unknown. So here,
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the house, the first house been built for mankind. So that means been built there for mankind, before mankind to come, the house was there for them. That means before the creation of mankind, okay, the house been built there for them. So it could not be built by a human being. It's built by somebody else. You understand what I'm saying? So when you came, you moved from Columbia, South Carolina to Austin, Texas, you came and you found Masjid Ibrahim already established. So that means somebody was there before Muhammad Abdi to come to give a lecture that established the mosque. You see? So Allah saying that the first house been established for mankind, who's the first of the mankind? Adam. So that means been established and already prepared, sitting there for him and for everybody to come. So from this it says that the house been built even before Adam comes. And from this, the, some of the scholars, they go to say that the first building by the for the Kaaba was by the angel. Okay? By the angel. And Allah knows best to understand that about all these other things, but we know from the close narration that what had happened, the story of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he put the stone and the Quraysh, okay, they could not come to the decision who's going to put the stone. So we know that this also was another building. And we know about that what happened also with Abdullah ibn Zubayr. Okay, because the war between him and the Hajjaj and all the things, and the war took place and a fire caught in the Kaaba. So he was rebuilding the Kaaba. He had rebuilt the Kaaba. So this one of the... And when Al-Hajjaj took over, he didn't like what Abdullah Zubair did, so he rebuilt it again. And did it according the original way. Okay? Because Abdullah ibn Zubair, when he rebuilt the Kaaba, he did it like what? According the foundation of Ibrahim. And according the foundation of Ibrahim, the Kaaba had two doors, not one door. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had told it to Aisha, لولا أن قومك حديث عهد بجاهلية لنقضت الكعبة ثم أقمتها وجعلت لها بابين, بابا يدخل من الناس وبابا يخرج منه الناس. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he told Aisha رضي الله عنها, only because your time or your people, they still not too far from the time of جاهلية, otherwise if they will maintain, will establish in the deen, I will remove the Kaaba and re-erect it again according to the foundation of Ibrahim. And I will make what? Two doors for the Kaaba. The Kaaba now has how many doors? Only one door. And the Kaaba door where? About little bit to my, when I stand and I stretch my arm like this, I almost reach the door. So if you say at the dumbbell, if I am 5 feet 6 inches, and also stretch my hand for another 1.5, so this will be almost like what? 7 feet? Huh? Six feet? So the Kaaba door, the beginning of the Kaaba door, is about 6 feet high from the ground. Okay? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was going to do what? Will take this door and bring it all the way down closer to the floor. And he will go to the other side and open also another door according to the foundation of Ibrahim. So the people can enter from one door and they can come from the other door. They can go inside, pray and leave. But, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had this wish, but he don't want to make a disturbance, especially if the people are not firm in the deen. And hopefully that some of those so-called da'iyah, especially in America, can learn something from this hadith, that sometimes it's not the best that you release and talk about everything, you understand, because it can make more destruction and disunity among the Muslims with something that you want to do, alright, which the people are not aware about it, alright, Like the people when they came here and they start to make the name Salafiyya as obligation. Not carrying the da'wah Salafiyya and living according the way of the Salaf. No, they make the name of calling yourself Salafi became it almost like obligation on the people, and they caused fitna among the Muslims and destruction and disunity among the Muslims. And this is not a wisdom. And here, returning the Kaaba to original foundation of Ibrahim, the Prophet ﷺ, he gave it up. Although this is the right, but it can cause more confusion among the Muslims. You see? So, when Zubair radiallahu anhu did this, and the Hajjaj took over, and he was able to win the battle and kill Zubair, he did what? He rebuilt the Kaaba again. And he closed the door from the other side and left it with one door. Okay? So there is many rebuilds and refurbish had happened to the Kaaba from the first time. And for Ibrahim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah saying in Surah Al-Hajj, verse number 26, وَإِذْ بَوَّأْنَا لِإِبْرَاهِيمَ مَكَانَ الْبَيْتِ أَلَّا تُشْرِكَ بِي شَيْئًا. That means Allah had shown Ibrahim the place of the Kaaba, because it was not clear, was not there for anybody to look to know where is the Kaaba. He knows that he is in the area, all right? But he doesn't know where exactly the spot and the foundation where he's supposed to erect the Kaaba. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we had shown Ibrahim the place of the house. And after this, he commanded him to build it. أَلَّا تُشْرِكَ بِي شَيْئًا. Okay? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَعِيلِ ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم ربنا وجعلنا مسلم لك ومن ذريتنا امه مسلمه لك وارنا مناسكنا وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم. سوره البقره verse 127. And remember when Ibrahim was raising the foundation of the house. So the foundation was there, but was covered. Alright? It was not easy to see it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it visible for Ibrahim, for him to establish on the original foundation. Alright? For the original foundation. And Ibrahim alayhi salam and his son Ismail. And this will teach us something about the lecture tomorrow. That as parents, you should always try to make your children participate and be part of what you're doing from Islamic activity, if we can use this terminology. Get them involved in what you're doing. Going to the mosque, learning, teaching, things like we try to do with Brother Hasib today. Huh? Is this Hasib? Where is he? So that sometimes we give them some responsibility. As example, if Rehani understands we need to pick up Sheikh Adli from the airport, he will take and understand some the Sheikh Mufti, alright, nobody knows Sheikh Mufti, okay, Ghulam, and tell him what's in the bookstore, okay, to train the people. So here the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, although his son Ismail, okay, is not in that age, but he can be assistant to him. So we need to get our children to get involved in what good that we're doing. Like as a dumbbell, if you're making a booklet or making tapes, yes, they don't know how to stand with the duplicate machine, alright? But you can give him the tape after you finish, put the label on it. Put it inside the cassette cover as a dumbbell. To get them involved, to train them from early days, early age. But look, رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. Although that the Prophet Ibrahim doing the best thing establishing the house of Allah, but he did not say, oh, I'm making a mosque. He's still humbling himself and say, oh Allah, please accept from us. He making dua. It's not because you got in a charity that accepted. You bought the charity and call in Allah to accept your charity. Make your effort and ask Allah to accept it. Humbling yourself, because maybe what you're doing has some riyah showing off. You see? Or maybe you did not get it from haram means. Or for whatever reason that you didn't deserve the qubul and the acceptance of Allah. So while Ibrahim and Ismail was doing, they also with the dua, oh Allah, accept from us. Indeed you are all here, all aware. Oh Allah, and make us Muslim. Make us Muslim. Keep us in Islam. And what? And from our families. So that means the Muslim not only concerned about himself, he concerned about himself and his generation coming after him. How to provide protection for them and provide a good Islamic future for them. And part of this by doing what? By making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. رَبَّنَا وَجَعَلْنَا مُسْلِمَيْنِ لَكَ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِنَا أُمَّةً مُسْلِمَةً وَأَرِنَا مَنَاسِكَنَا. And show us our rituals, okay, and forgive us. Indeed, you are the most forgiving, most merciful. Before the time finish, I forgot what time we started. I think it was 6:50. What time we started? Anyway, before that, the time goes, I won't bring something about the history. Okay, we're going to stop for the adhan, inshallah. What is this? Or this adhan? Okay, stop then. We're going to stop for the adhan, and inshallah we complete after the adhan, before the salah, inshallah. Tafadhal. Why was it?
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
inshallah we'll continue again with the history concerning the Kaaba and the surrounding area. Kaaba, which is the house of Allah, and the Bayt al-Haram, and the Kaaba, and Bakka. This is the place where was the beginning of the Isra of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is because of the history that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, subhanahu alladhi asra bi'abdihi laylan min al-masjid al-haram ila al-masjid al-aqsa alladhi baratna hawla. Glory be to Allah who had taken his slave Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a journey by night, starting from al-masjid al-haram, the sacred mosque, to Jerusalem. And in actuality, there is a lot been written concerning the Kaaba and the Haram and Mecca. But due to the fact that some of this information is not being authenticated, I don't want to be recorded here. Understand? Because we have to be very careful what we teach the people, okay? But one of the things that we have to remember about the history of this area, what's happening with Hajar and Ismail and Ibrahim alayhi salam. You understand that as the Quran had recorded, that رَبَّنَا إِنِّي أَسْكَنْتُ مِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي بِوَادٍ عِنْدَ بَيْتِكَ الْمُحَرَّمِ وَارِ رَبَّنَا لِيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. Here the Prophet Ibrahim, he said, O Allah, I had dwelled from my family in the neighborhood of your house. That he brought some of his family, which his wife Hajar and her son, or his son Ismail, and made a place for them to stay where? In the proximity or in the surrounded area, in the neighborhood of what? عند بيتك المحرم. عند بيتك المحرم, by your secret house. Why? What is the purpose of the business there? You're going to build a car manufacturing and you're going to be the first people they can take application to you, they hire you, or that the land now cheap, later on will the price will go up, so let's get 2 acres and after 5 years resell it and make money. ربنا ليقيم الصلاة. But look, where he brought them. إِنِّي أَسْكَنْتُ مِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي بِوَادٍ غَيْرِ ذِي ذَرْعٍ. Brought them in a valley which no vegetation, no plantation, no single tree there, no food for them there. But the sacrifice is so great, because the Prophet Ibrahim was concerned about his family to be in the right neighborhood, to be beside a mosque. You see, that some of us, when we move from a city to city, they try to look for an area which is convenient or directly to the highway, close to their jobs and all these things, or away from the traffic, quiet, safe, all the things. But the person, wise person, when he moves from city to city, first thing he's supposed to ask, where is the mosque? Where is the Islamic school? You see? And get closer for convenience so he can be going back and forth. Otherwise, if you go away 10 and 15 miles, you will be seeing the mosque when? Only in Jum'ah?
or in the two Eid prayer. We ask Allah to protect us all. So although that the convenience that a human being will be looking for is not exist, and he summarizes it in one word, غير ذي زرع, no vegetation in that place. But we have the right neighborhood عند بيتك المحرم. This is one thing. So when the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam brought his wife with her baby Ismail and he blessed him and he started to leave, Hajar started calling in him, Ibrahim, how come you going to leave us in a place like this? And Ibrahim, he had no answer. He don't know what he can tell there. She kept calling in him again and again, and he had no answer to tell her. Finally, she asked him, Allahu amaraka bidhalik, is this what you've been commanded by your Lord? He said, yes. Yes, this is what Allah has ordered me. Now, this Muslim wife, right away submit, and she have a strong belief, إِذَنْ لَنْ يُضَيِّعُنَ اللَّهِ. So, no problem. Allah is not going to neglect us. And this woman saying this, why she could not see or spot anything around here to indicate anything. But, if this is what Allah wants, there is no problem. There is no problem. And how much you think the Prophet Ibrahim can carry with him, walking all the distance, the little bit of wheat or dates, whatever he took with him, he left it with his wife and his baby, and after this he left. Maybe a day, 2 days, whatever, and now things is gone. And the baby, Ismail, starts crying. No milk, no water, nothing to give the child. And now, Hajar comes, starts looking for food for her baby. And she starts to look, observe the area around here, could not find anything. And she went on this little mountain called As-Safa. Because when you are on the height, it will be much easier to see the valley and see the surrounding area. So she went on the Safa and start to look right and left. She could not see anything. No any indication for a living thing, vegetation, somebody going, coming, nothing. She come and to go to the other side and to go on top of the Marwa, this little mountain, and start to look from the other side. And she could not find anything. She come back looking. But now, when she come down to the valley, she had left her child, and she can hear the crying. The baby is thirsty. No milk, no water, no food. And she start run. Speed in her steps. She don't want to hear the crying of her baby. Until she reached to the a distance that she don't hear the child, she go again to As-Safa. She look right, left, here and there. She could not find anything. She come down and she keep walking, but when she reach to a distance, she hear her baby crying. She start to go fast, so she don't hear him. And this what we doing in our. And to make a little short time for you. Okay. Can you cut off the chain? Right. So, here we came to revive the sunnah, the work, the tradition, of our mother Hajar. When we go to Hajj, to remember this, to remember the patience of this believing woman and the surrender of this Muslim family. We go to the Safa and we go to the Marwa and we come back. And when we reach the area which Hajar used to run and speed, we speed also to revive this memory in our heart, in our mind. And finally, Hajar could not see anything. And when she was running back and forth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the angel Gabriel, alayhi salam, and he will come, the angel Gabriel, and strike the ground with the end of his wing, and here, where the baby was laying down there, Ismail, the water started gushing. And after this, Hajar from a distance sees the baby quiet. What's wrong? What happened? She goes and she found this water gushing from under the ground, going right and left. And she starts to do with her hand, bring the sand and the dirt round the water so the water doesn't go all over, and say, Zummi, Zummi, or Zam, Zam. That means get closer together. And after this, and she starts to get drink from the water, and give her baby milk, and give her baby the water, and birds start flying. The birds indicate the water, and birds flying. And now the caravan starts moving back and forth. Seeing a bird in the area, that always indicates not to be a living thing, it's some water, something going on. And here, may Allah be merciful with our mother Hajar, if she did not say to Zamzam, Zummi, Zummi, or get closer, it became the water all over the valley and will go everywhere. We could not have it like today. And this is one of the miracles that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the ayat and the time, that this well of water that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it blessing for this Muslim family and provision, it remained provision until today. Not only for the Hajj and the Mu'tamir who go every year to see millions of Muslims drinking from this water and taking from this water with them everywhere. And now they have manufactured the bottle in the water, sending it and selling it everywhere. And this water is still gushing. Still gushing by Allah's will and His mercy. And this water, which became a lot of healing for a lot of problems, a lot of sickness, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us about it, that ta'amu tu'min wa shifa'u tu'min, is the food for the person and also who's hungry and a cure for the sick people. If we can some little bit control, because I may lose what I'm saying. I'm sorry. Okay? So this water is still until today gushing, and the people bottling it and taking it everywhere, and it's still there. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us about the water of Zamzam, that Zamzam lima shurib lah, or kama qala sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Zamzam is for whatever intention that you drink it for. And Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him, used to drink Zamzam with intention. What was his intention? For the first of the day of judgment. SubhanAllah. Ibn Abbas was thinking about the day of judgment. So since whatever intention you drink Zamzam for, so Ibn Abbas, he took this to be his intention for the hereafter. So he drank Zamzam to make him fulfilled in the day of judgment, not to be thirsty. SubhanAllah. The history about the Kaaba, Imam al-Suyuti, rahmatullah alayhi, in his book, Al-Itqan, The verse of Surah An-Nisa, verse number 58, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَنْ تُؤَدُّوا الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا وَإِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ أَنْ تَحْكُمُوا بِالْعَدْلِ. Indeed, Allah has commanded you that you give the trust to those who have to lawful honor, and if you judge between the people, judge by justice and fairness. He said, this is the only verse that revealed to the Prophet ﷺ while he was inside the Kaaba. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as well as Prophet Muhammad ﷺ, has commanded an order for this house, the Kaaba, to be provided by saying in Surah Al-Hajj, verse number 26, وَطَهِّرْ بَيْتِيَ وَطَهِّرْ بَيْتِيَ provide my house and purification from all kinds of impurity and filth, from statues, idols, shirk, kuffar, mushrikeen, mushrik, Jewish, Christians, and impurity, filth, everything. And as a tradition of this, the washing of the Kaaba is done once or twice every year since the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They wash it with the water of Zamzam from inside, and they sweep the floor, and they put perfume and musk and different things on the walls from inside, and after this they will close it. And this is supposed to be done, and some of the big shots people attend this sermon. Kaaba is the place which is loved by every Muslim on the earth, wherever they live, regardless of the spirit, or they could not see it. It's something that in the heart of every Muslim, this is the Kaaba, the house of Allah, Bakka, al-Bayt al-Haram, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered to be established for the purpose of his worshipping and the beginning station of the Isra of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the house that being visited and made Hajj by all the prophets before the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the house which been visited by Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam 4 times in his Umrah and 1 time during his Hajj. Okay? Which one Umrah that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam been prevented to enter, so he was not able to go and visit the Kaaba. And after this was Umrah al-Qada and Umrah al-Zahrana, which after the conquest of Mecca, taken over Mecca, and the Umrah, which he made it with his Hajj. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also made one Hajj in his time to the Kaaba. But it is more can be said about the Kaaba and the history, but like I said, it's a lot of information that I could not find reliable sources to tell you about it. So I try my best to avoid many things which may be very interesting to you, but I could not verify from authentication. So this is the best that I can do, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive me for my shortcoming, and inshallah, maybe more while we see the slideshow after Isha or after Isha or after dinner, that we can talk more details about the Safa, the Marwa, the Mas'a, the Mataf, the Rukn al-Hatim, Zamzam, and all the things. In actuality, the Kaaba had looked different shapes before and after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As example, with no ceiling for the Kaaba before, alright? As example, that the foundation of Ibrahim and what is
has two doors and now has only one door.
In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the Kaaba, and what is surrounded there was the house of the people. Okay? And it remained like this in the time of Abu Bakr Siddiq and Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu when he came. Okay? He bought the houses and said to the people, the Kaaba was here before you. Okay? You are the one that came into the premises of the Haram. So he bought the houses surrounded and removed the people away distance, and he built like a wall or a fence around the Kaaba to be the place. But the people used to be like the Kaaba in the middle and the house around it, and this is it. Okay? But now, nowadays, you can, when you go, you see the Haram, the Mataf with the marble and all the big lights that night almost like the day. And after this, you see the Turkish renovation, and after this, the Saudi renovation. And now you understand every time that they keep taking more houses and keep making, enlarging the Haram more and more. So it's a lot of things.
No sound, brother.
Basement, and the first floor, and the second floor, and the roof, and still is not enough for to accommodate all the people. And when the adhan is called during Hajj, all the buses and the public transportation will stop, and all the streets, you see nothing except waves and ocean of a human being. This is all what you see. If you have opportunity to be standing in a height and you look as far your sight can reach, all what you see, white clothes with people prostrating in the street as far as you can see. No buses, no taxis, nothing can be moving during this time until the prayer is over. May Allah give all of us, inshallah, the opportunity to be there and live this unique experience of Iman, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a visit to there again and again and again. Inshallah, we'll answer questions or accommodate any questions after Isha or after dinner or the presentation. Anyway, we have one question from the internet here, because this lecture is broadcast live in Adli.net, which I invite all of you to visit it. We have one question concerning, can a couple that are married have sex while they are in Hajj? Of course you could not, because if you are in the process of Hajj, until you finish your Umrah, you could not have intercourse, neither you can talk with your husband or your wife anything related to intercourse. Okay? Because you are in Ihram, there are certain things is forbidden for you, which originally used to be lawful for you. And one of them, the rafat, the intercourse or anything related to sexual activity, you are prohibited from it until you finish the process of Umrah, and you take your clothes off and you wear the other clothes, and you end in your Umrah. Now when you're waiting until Hajj comes, yes, you can be intimate with your husband or your wife. But while you're doing the process of Umrah or the process of Hajj, you could not do anything like this. Inshallah, we'll continue later. So we have about another 7 questions, but we don't also burden other people that they may like to leave. So we answer those who would like questions to be answered. Inshallah, will be up to a person who's in the charge here to let us know exactly when we're going to answer them, because we still have one presentation, and we still have a dinner, and we still have a snack, and we still have all this good stuff. So we don't know when. So we close here, inshallah, until we make salah, and we'll see what comes next. Thank you for listening. Jazakumullah khairan.
الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله تقيم جزاك الله خير الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين وإذ ابتلى إبراهيم ربه بكلمات فأتمهن قال إني جاعلك للناس إماما قال ومن ذريتي قال لا ينال عهدي الظالمين وإذ جعلنا البيت مثابة للناس وأمنا واتخذوا من مقام إبراهيم مصلى وعهدنا إلى إبراهيم وإسماعيل أن طهر بيتي للطائفين والعاكفين والركع السجود وإذ قال إبراهيم رب اجعل هذا بلدنا آمنا وارزق أهله من الثمرات من آمن منهم بالله واليوم الآخر قال ومن كفر فأمتعه قليلا ثم أضطره إلى عذاب النار وبئس المصير وإذ يرفع إبراهيم القواعد من البيت وإسماعيل ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم ربنا واجعلنا مسلمين لك ومن ذريتنا أمة مسلمة لك وأرنا مناسكنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم ربنا وابعث فيهم رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم آياتك ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة ويزكيهم إنك أنت العزيز الحكيم ومن يرغب عن ملة إبراهيم إلا من سفه نفسه ولقد اصطفيناه في الدنيا وإنه في الآخرة لمن الصالحين إذ قال له ربه أسلم قال أسلمت لرب العالمين وأوفى بها إبراهيم بنيه ويعقوب يا بني إن الله اصطفى لكم الدين فلا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون أم كنتم شهداء إذ حضر يعقوب الموت إذ قال لبنيه ما تعبدون من بعدي قالوا نعبد إلهك وإله آبائك إبراهيم وإسماعيل وإسحاق إلها واحدا ونحن له مسلمون الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين تلك أمة قد خلت لها ما كسبت ولكم ما كسبتم ولا تسألون عما كانوا يفعلون وقالوا كونوا هودا أو نصارى تهتدوا قل بل ملة إبراهيم حنيفا وما كان من المشركين قولوا آمنا بالله وما أنزل إلينا وما أنزل إلينا وما أنزل إلى إبراهيم وإسماعيل وإسماعيل وإسحاق ويعقوب ولسباط وما أوتي موسى وعيسى وما أوتي النبيون من ربهم لا نفرق بين أحد منهم ونحن له مسلمون فإن آمنوا بمثل ما آمنتم به فقد اهتدوا وإن تولوا فإنما هم في شقاق فسيكفيكهم الله وهو السميع العليم صبغة الله ومن أحسن من الله صبغة ونحن له عابدون قل تحاجوننا في الله وهو ربنا وربكم ولنا أعمالنا ولكم أعمالكم ونحن له مخلصون أم يقولون إن إبراهيم وإسماعيل وإسحاق ويعقوب والأسباط كانوا هودا أو نصارى قل أنتم أعلم أم الله ومن أظلم ممن كتم شهادة عنده من الله وما الله بغافل عما تعملون تلك أمة قد خلت لها ما كسبت ولكم ما كسبتم ولا تسألون عما كانوا يعملون الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. اللهم السلام السلام تبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام.
Okay, everybody, they're going to do this after dinner. Let me cut this off.